It's Christmas. For the world that is nominally Christian, or at least accepts Christian holidays, it's a time of gift giving. We like to give gifts. For the retailers in our country, it is the time in which they figure out if they're going to survive to the next year. And so we have to hear all the numbers. It is an awful shame. Y'all know I raise cows, and the government has made it almost impossible in the farming community to save money. Like, if you save money, you are penalized. If you go out and you spend money on new equipment, whether you need it or not, and almost invariably you're going to need some new equipment because it just wears out, but you get the tax savings. And so we've kind of, our whole society is geared towards spending, spending, spending. And so we lose sight of what the actual and true meaning of Christmas is. I'm not saying that Wilmington Bible Chapel is doing that. I'm not saying that you personally are doing that. But I was thinking, my brother-in-law spoke out of Galatians a couple of months ago, and he was so excited about Galatians, and I decided I need to read Galatians. And so I decided to read Galatians, and it was in that I came across that famous verse, verse 20 of chapter 2, for I am crucified with Christ. And I realized I haven't thought about that verse as much as I should. I should have memorized. I did memorize it one time. It was a struggle to remember what I actually knew. And so I thought about that verse for several days during the week after my brother-in-law's sermon. And it was that final phrase in the verse that really struck me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. As I began reflecting on this idea of gave himself for me, the genesis for Christmas message, or Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever you want to call it, message, began to emerge. And so I want to take you on a journey on this idea of giving himself. But first of all, let's look at, or maybe we'll. The difference between two gifts, and you'll understand this, all of us will understand this to some extent. Both of these pictures are taken in Scotland. Okay? Both of these pictures are taken in Scotland. On the right, you'll see a group of mostly joyless women who I have to endure on a regular basis. My mother-in-law, there's my sweet wife, Joanne, cousin Joan, and then my sister-in-law. We all know it's Nancy. That is a trip that I financed. So I spent, not for the other lady, but for my wife, I sent her, she wanted to go to Scotland with her mama and her sister, and it was one of those things, I couldn't go. I was working, I couldn't go. We had kids at home. That was the big thing. Mary and Cobb, you know, this was not a trip for the family. So I financed the trip. Tammy had a wonderful time. And she came back saying, I really want you to go with me. 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 And she said this for years and years. Well, our 25th anniversary was coming up. And so we said, I sort of started planning for this and trying to figure out how I could make it happen. And so, you know, the struggle that Tammy's been through over the last several years, you know, and for a good period there, she was dying. You know, we were told that she was dying. It was, you know. So it was like, we've got to do this or it's not going to happen. And just the young couples out there, or young people out there, let me just tell you this. Before you're married and you're working, and save some of your money up so that you can take your wife or husband on a trip when you're young. Because you're not promised tomorrow. And we almost missed our opportunity. And it was a great, great trip. But the point is, here am I, in a stateroom on the ship Britannica. It was the Queen Elizabeth's yacht. It's up in the Edinburgh Harbor or whatever it is. I paid $4.50 for a glass of sweet tea. The only sweet tea I got in that whole country. You know, but the point is, this was a gift that I gave. She enjoyed it. She loved it. She had a great time. This is a gift that she never stops talking about. When we go, why? Because whether or not you understand it or not, 27 years ago in December the 19th, with these wreaths on the wall, Tammy and I gave ourselves to each other in matrimony. I don't know that there's like three couples here that were here when we got married. I mean, literally, that were in the meeting when we got married. So understand, I don't expect you to enter into that, but those of you, Renee actually directed our way. And so we made a vow to each other. And so when I went with her, that trip to Scotland became the end-all, be-all. She was very excited, and we had a great time. And we'll talk about this, but let's say what a wonderful trip it was. Not every aspect of that trip was great, but what was big about it to us, we had gone to celebrate our 25th anniversary. And I had given not just a check for her to go, I had gone myself. Now, you know this at Christmas time, especially those of you that are married. You can give your spouse a check for $500. And she or he will readily take that check for $500. You're not going to reject that check. But if they gift you a gift that they have paid attention to what you like, and they spend that $500 on that gift that you like, and you know that they listened and they heard and they knew you, paid attention to you, which gift matters? The $500, yeah, they'll take it. They'll be happy for it. But if you take that $500 and give them that special widget or whatever it is that you really wanted, you have shown that you have given of your heart and of your being because you've paid attention. You've given some of yourself in that gift. It doesn't always work. Everybody take a look over here. I want everybody to look at my beautiful bride. Mm-hmm. She's in the 1, 2, 3, 4th row. Tammy, could you stand up for us, please? You don't have to twirl. I'm not asking you to do that. But look at that dress that she's wearing. You see that dress? It's a beautiful dress. I picked that out by myself. Okay. So that's, I wanted to shop. There are Christmas miracles that still exist, okay? I picked that out myself. Why did I pick it out in green? I picked it out because when my sweet wife was in the throes, I mean, last December was rough for us. I didn't know that she was going to live. I mean, honestly, didn't know. It was rough. Last fall and early spring. I finally said, what is your favorite color? She always wore dark, like brown and black. I said, nobody's favorite color is brown. And so I finally said, what is your favorite? I thought, as a good husband, I need to know this. I asked her. She says, green. Green is my favorite color. I determined in my heart to go get her green outfits. I buy her three things that are green. One's a t-shirt, just for fun. One was a nice little summer spring dress. And one was this outfit. She opens all these presents at our anniversary and at Christmas. And then 2 weeks later, she goes, why did you get me these green outfits? And I'm sitting there dumbfounded. It's like, I went out of my way to know your heart. To be that husband that all the Hallmark movies want me to be. And yet, she forgot completely. It does happen. It does happen. But last Christmas, she got me this crazy little gift. I don't have a picture of it, but it's one of those things where it's useless. It's truly useless. But it was an incredible gift. Y'all can say whatever. We've been married a long time. It's a little collection of a ring and then little leather emblems of baseball teams on it. And they're made from old baseball gloves. And they're made the imprint of every stadium that I have been to watch baseball games was made. I'm a huge Braves fan. I've been a coach baseball. I loved ball. It doesn't look it, but yeah, I used to play. All right? And I love baseball. And she knew exactly. I hate getting gifts because what do you give me, another drill? Another screwdriver? You know, and I opened that gift and I said, wow, she knew me. Okay? I've taken too long to introduce this, but the reality of this is y'all know what I'm talking about when somebody gives of themselves. We can practically look at it here in this meeting. Right here on the screen. Everybody knows Carolyn Brown? A lot of y'all have come in late. You don't know the story, but 11 years ago in December of 2014, a fact that we discovered a week after the Scotland trip. That first Scotland trip that she went on with her sisters and she came home, went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got to have a kidney transplant. You've got to have a kidney transplant. Y'all don't know this. Carolyn was at our wedding 27 years ago, December, standing right up here. She didn't know what she was getting into when she became a bridesmaid because 17 years later, she's on an operating table. Me and Scott are out in the waiting room waiting for whatever's going to happen, sort of silently wondering if the Lord was going to deliver us, but both of our wives made it through. What had Carolyn done? She'd given a part of herself so that my wife could live. Her kidney. She had not given her whole self because she's still here. But she had given a kidney so that my wife might have life. Really important practical application of sacrificial giving. Let's look at what the Lord did for us in giving of himself. Jesus gave himself for all. He gave himself for the church. And he gave himself for me. There are seven times in the New Testament we see this basic illustration given. This morning at the Lord's Supper, we lived out or we experienced the first time that this is basically stated. This is my body given. The Lord Jesus takes the bread, he breaks it. The word given means to reach out, to extend, to present in this context. The word itself in Greek is didymai. I'm not a Greek scholar. If Cobb was here, he is a Greek little miniature scholar. He could say this right. But there's didymai, and paradidymai are the three words, or the two words, basically, that are used in this seven times context. But the context within the verses sort of give you different meanings. We're not going to get into technicalities this morning. But we see in Luke 22, 19 and 20, this is my body given, this do in remembrance of me. Folks, that's why it's really important for you to come to the Lord's Supper. You have been invited by the King of Kings who gave himself for you to remember him. You would not turn down an invitation from a very wealthy person in Wilmington who wanted to give you a car. Right? Or if the person had given you a car and invited you to their home, would you say no? No, thank you. You'd show up because it's gratitude. The Lord Jesus himself said, this is my body given. But the other examples are all in the Pauline epistles. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning when we talk about he gave himself. Galatians 1:4, 1 Timothy 2:6, Titus 2:14. The didymai word is used. It means who gave himself for our sins in Galatians 1:4. It means to give up for or to expiate. The other paradidymai, the other use, gave to give oneself up for, to give oneself to death for, to undergo death for the salvation of one. All of these are basically the same words, the same meanings. The root word is this didyma that you see there. But we're going to look at these six instances in the Pauline epistles to see what the scope of the giving of the Lord Jesus was. And I hope that you will be encouraged as you go into this Christmas season when you consider what an incredibly gracious and merciful gift that was. Before we go any farther, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help. Dear Lord, we just thank You. We thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the expression, Father, of Your love to us in the person of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We lift Him up today, and we're going to explore some of the aspects of Him giving Himself for us. Help us to be encouraged in our own lives, but not simply for our own encouragement. May we go forth from here ready to give an answer to the hope that lies within us, and that is Your Son came for us, died for us, rose again for us, is coming for us. Oh, Lord God, thank You for Your Son. Thank You for giving Him. Lord Jesus, thank You for giving Yourself. And it's in Your precious name we ask help this morning. Amen. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Or 2, excuse me, verse 3. First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 through 6 for context. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I am, as you know, not afraid of arguments and fun debates. I am wholly against debates that destroy the unity of the body. And as I age, I get less inclined to engage in certain debates. The reality is, in the evangelical world, there's a growing move against everything that I hold to be dear. This idea of the rapture and the Lord Jesus coming into this world to save everybody. There's a very strong movement towards covenantalism and Reformed theology. And I'm not here to speak against them. There are many, many godly men and women that believe those things. It is a passage like this that just tells me that they are so wrong. And I will go to my grave, whether I get to heaven and am instructed differently by the Savior. Look at the will of God here. Look at the will of God here. The will of God is that all be saved. That's what He wants. Jesus did not come down, be born in the stable and laid in the manger, so that He could only save a little portion that were pre-selected. He came into the world a ransom for all.
Amen.
All. That is the story of Christmas. He came as a ransom for all. What does the word ransom mean? Ransom is what is given in exchange for another as the price of his redemption. I will go to my grave looking at the blood of Jesus Christ and the body of Jesus Christ given for mankind as being powerful enough to save the souls of any human being that comes to Him by faith. I was reminded in this little search of giving Himself the extent. Now we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I lose track of the fact, whether it's my own arrogance or ignorance, it depends on which day it is, which one of those overcomes, but I forget how incredibly wondrous the expanse of the mercy and grace of God is. Turn, if you would, to Romans 1. When we think about this idea of all comes from our lips quickly. It rolls off our tongue. It's like, oh yeah, everything, everybody, all. Yeah, I know what all means. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. We won't talk about this much, but I want you to read with me quickly the world in which the Lord Jesus, to which the Lord Jesus came. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Anybody in this room ever been ungrateful? The answer to that is yes, you have. So before we get into this list of hideous sins, and some of which have resulted in groups of people being given over, understand, this is the humanity. This is the humanity that the pristine Son of God gave himself for. Pay attention. But became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Oh, we don't have idols. Oh, not us. This is not us. Check your 401k. Check your bank account. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women to change his natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, seeing that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. There's a whole lot of this that doesn't apply to you and me. That's true. Any of you have been covetous? Any of you wanted something that wasn't yours? That somebody else had? How did the great Paul know that he was a sinner? Paul knew that he was a sinner because he wanted somebody else's stuff. Go to America. Watch your, when you're in America, why don't you just watch your TV and see the commercials? You and I have to have something else. We just didn't. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Check your Facebook account recently? Check the prayer chain recently? Oh, we're sorry to tell you, but Sister So-and-so's daughter is living in sin. We need to pray. Evidently something went wrong in that household. You understand what I'm saying? Backbiters, haters of God, despite the proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Where does rebellion against God begin? Pretty much much the second we learn to cry. We were talking about this last night. We're eating supper, some of us, late. You don't have to teach a child to lie. There's no class. We are sinners from the beginning. Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Every human being that has ever walked this planet has sinned somewhere on this list of those that have rejected God. We may not be in the categories given over, and I'm not trying to make any equation to that, but where does that given over start? It starts with being unthankful and not recognizing who God is. It begins with little things like disobedience to parent. And then, but I'm not here to talk about how wretched we are. Look at the gift. He gave himself a ransom for all. We don't come to the Lord's Supper to talk about, oh, let me tell you how badly I sinned this week. I'm going to list off to you in a confessional format that I lusted after so-and-so, that I got angry after so-and-so, that I wanted to steal so-and-so, that I wanted to hit somebody over the head with a baseball bat. We don't do that. But the reality is we could list almost all of those things. We come back to remember Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. What a Savior! What a gift! Man, should that change how I feel about the lost? The answer to that is yes. Will it? I don't know. We get busy. We get moving along our daily path. We get blinded. Yes, we should stand up for righteousness. Please do not take anything that I'm saying and say, oh, we should roll over and say that iniquity is good. No. God says, I hate those things. I'm against those that call good, evil, and evil, good. At the same time, the absolute parenthesis, I guess, in a math equation, I don't know, I'm just terrible at math, but everything included in that parenthesis, the extremes of that is that our Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Why? Because God wants everybody. Do you? Do I? Or am I sitting there wondering, when are they going to get it? Well, I can't wait till they get their comeuppance. Can't wait till God drops his hammer of wrath on them, and I'll be cheering for him when he does. Of course, none of y'all do that. Or all of us do. Please do not misunderstand me. The scriptures are full of judgment that comes from God that is righteous, and we want to be on the side of righteousness. We stand for what is right. But how do we say it? And what is the end goal? Our Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. That's not all he gave himself a ransom for. Well, technically, it is all he gave himself a ransom for. But there's another subset, and one which we're all a part of, those of us that know the Lord Jesus is our Savior. We read, turn if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25. The same phrase occurs, and it says to us, we hear this mostly in marriage ceremonies, wedding ceremonies, but I'm not here to talk about marriage ceremonies. I'm here to say what it says in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So, this illustration in Ephesians chapter 5, 25, that's used as a picture of which marriage is a picture of this, God through the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit speaks to Paul and says, Christ loved the church. Now, what church is he talking about? He's talking about the universal church, right? Every believer in the Lord Jesus, whether they're at the sanctified Wilmington Bible Chapel, which is where they should be. We should need a football field. If you don't believe what we're doing here, study. Study. But it also means that saved folks at the Methodist place, and saved folks at the Baptist place, and saved folks at the Presbyterian place, they're more saved than us because they were... Saved folks at what, big PC3 or something over there, the massive campus that I run into on occasion. All of those are what? They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, the Son, gave Himself for all of us. So what should we be doing? Enjoying fellowship with them where we can. Unfortunately, we have disagreements. And there are real disagreements, and I'm not saying paper over those disagreements. Some of these groups take the Word of God more seriously than others. Some things we don't understand, and we've chosen the path going this direction. They've chosen the path going that direction. What is the purpose of this? I want you to be encouraged this Christmas season to be mindful, to be reminded that you are not alone, though there are only 40 people here today or 30 people here today. There is a city in which there are thousands upon thousands of people that name the name of the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Remember that He gave Himself for them as well. And enjoy the fellowship that you have with them in the areas in which you can enjoy. Guess where we can enjoy fellowship? Hallelujah! Jesus came! So go sing your choirs, go do the visitation, go to the living nativity set. Encourage those groups that are presenting the gospel. And let's keep it to that, they're presenting the gospel. But He gave Himself for the universal church. And guess what? When we get to heaven, every single one of us is going to be changed in His image. And we may have had to be changed a lot more than somebody over at the Baptist place did. You understand what I'm saying. The point here is, He gave Himself for the universal church. It's not just the universal church. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, well, it's 3 for context. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Turn over to chapter 5 and verse 2 of Ephesians. And what does it say? And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. These letters to the Ephesians and to the Galatians are letters to local churches. They were circular letters that would be sent to other churches, but they were specifically given to a local body of believers. So what is Paul saying? He's saying to the church that is gathered at Galatia, Christ gave Himself for you. Hey, Ephesians, Christ gave Himself for you. Hey, Wilmington Bible Chapel, Christ gave Himself for all true believers that are sitting in this room today. Specifically. And notice what he says in both the church universal and the local church. He did this because He loved us. Loved us. This means to have a preference for, to wish well to regard the welfare of, the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever name, appellation that we want to give to Him, that Son of God loved and gave Himself for the universal church and the local church. Should that impact how I fellowship with folks in my local meeting? Oh, Jesus loved me, gave Himself for me. But you, oh my, you have so far to go. You are so far from being in His image. Come up here with me. You ever have troubles at Wilmington Bible Chapel? Any difficulties? Any struggles that you have with other believers? The answer to that is yes, and yes, and yes. Why? Because we have them where I go. Because all of us are humans. But the absolute bedrock understanding of our fellowship together should be that the Lord Jesus Christ loved that person that names His name sitting in the pew opposite you, whether or not they agree with your position on X or Y. How do you handle that? Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. Because we belong. I hope you will forgive me, but I can't read that talk right there. Alright. I didn't want to go until 10 after and everybody starts stoning me. I'm sorry that you had to see this, but I thought this was a perfect illustration. Folks, He gave Himself to the world. He gave Himself to the church. But the thing that struck me, because I, like you, am a selfish human being, and also because it is unfathomable. But if let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 and read these words. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How many of you struggle looking in the mirror? Christmas time is a wondrous time. It's a wonderful time, but there's a lot of folks that struggle. A lot of people that hurt. A lot of people that are wondering what their purpose is. I don't believe in a lot of social mantras and that sort of stuff, but they say these things like, you've got to love yourself before you can love everybody else. I'm not getting that tattoo. But I am going to say this. If you cannot grasp the fact that the Lord Jesus loves you individually, He knows every hair that's on your head. He knows every sin that you've committed. Do you know every sin you've committed? The answer to that is no, you don't. That's why when people say you've got to confess all your sins, they go, no, you can't. Yeah, you confess your sins when they come to mind. Do you know that Jesus loves you? He loves you individually. You know how to get rid of a lot of self-absorption and self-pity and self-anxiety and all those things that my wife deals with on a regular basis? If it's not a physical problem, there are all kinds of physical issues, so don't mistake what I'm saying. Man, if you just took the time to realize the God of the universe who spoke the worlds into existence and holds all things by the word of His power, that God loves me. That God gave Himself for me. My wife might not even pay attention to me. My children might ignore me. My job may be wishing for me to go somewhere else. But the God of the universe came down from heaven die for me. Praise God. I'm not excited by that. I can't help you. I just can't. I can yell louder, but I won't. But I mean, if you don't see and grasp that if he can save some wretch like me, how? How? Your picture's not going to be much prettier up here either. Just understand that. He gave himself up for me and loved me. He loves you. What a Christmas it would be if we came to fully realize that. Or the reality came more fully to realize that. Because it's going to take eternity for him to express all of his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Applications. Titus 2, 11 through 15. We don't have time. Well, I'm going to read it to you. Y'all can study it later on. But I want you to read and hear this. Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise them. Why? Why did he give himself? Well, number one, we know he gave himself because he loved us. It said that the love, 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 love. But there's a practical working out of that why. And that is that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people. Now, there are a lot of us that are peculiar. I get that. But that's not his special people given to good works. We must realize that the cost and final outcome should lead to holy living. Each of these passages talks about things that we shouldn't do. What is he going to do with the universal church? That it should be holy and without blemish? He's going to wash that. That's coming in eternity. But what are we supposed to do? Fornication and all uncleanness, it should be named among us. We should realize that the cost of our redemption should lead to holy living corporately in the church and individually, because he gave himself for the corporate church and he gave himself for the individual members within that church, and he asked us to live this way. Galatians 2:20, we have life because he gave his life and now lives within those of us that believe. He's come to make his dwelling with us, John tells us. Galatians 2:20, nevertheless, Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life that you have, the actual life that you have because the Lord Jesus gave himself and loved you. Because of that, our life is not our own. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And finally, this Christmas should be one of great thanksgiving. We read this verse this morning in the Lord's Supper. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable or undescribable gift. This word means to describe and commemorate, which words fail. You look at the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We don't have the words to describe the gift that is the Lord Jesus. The expanse of his giving, the entire world, all, a ransom for all that come to him. A church that has universally failed. A local church that still struggles and they know the Lord Jesus and come back to remember him. And an individual who every day has to go to the Savior God in confession. That Jesus is our gift. And if we cannot go forth in triumph singing this Christmas, we are missing the gift. He loves you. He loves this church. He loves the universal church. And He loves the world. What a Savior we have. Let Father, help us, we pray, to think about Your Son. To think about the extent of His love for this world, for the church, and for us individually. And help us go forth from here, making a difference in the lives of those people for whom He cares, which is indeed the world He wishes to save, and the people that He has saved. Help us, we pray, to be like Him. In His precious name we pray. Amen.